must be the people Naomi told me about. She said she met some people last week, and I just said to her, Naomi, you have got to be crazy. Why would anybody be interested in our story? We're just ordinary people. There's nothing special about us. But then I got thinking, we do serve an extraordinary God, and that must be why you're so interested in our stories, because me and Naomi, there really is nothing special about us, but our God is incredible. See, I'm Ruth, and I'm from Moab, which is a land that's really far away, because Bethlehem here, it's not my home. I did not grow up here. I am not an Israelite by birth. I have been adopted into this family, but the land that I came from and where I grew up, we served so many gods. We had a god for everything. We had sacrifices for everything, and they weren't healthy, normal sacrifices, and I can see that now. And we were a land that was full of evil. But when Naomi came into my life, Yahweh came into my life. And he has rescued me from that life. He has rescued me from all of the evil that I lived through as a child that I didn't even know was bad. And so now I'm a daughter of the King, and I've come to know his promises and his commands, and he truly is extraordinary. You see, I know Naomi told you her story last week, and it is an incredible story, but when I came to marry one of her sons and I became a part of the family, I knew nothing of Hebrew life. I knew nothing of the God that they worshipped. I came in the family just expecting to be a part of the family, and it just wasn't anything completely, it just made sense. And so when I came into this family and I learned about Hebrew life, for 10 years I was married to a Hebrew man and in a Hebrew household, I really got to know the laws and the covenants and the promises of Yahweh. And so when life went sour for us, when my husband died, my brother-in-law died, after my father-in-law had already passed away, for me and Orpah, Naomi was all we had left of the God that they served. And she would cry out, why, God? She would cry out, why have you abandoned me? And I would hear her pain. I was feeling it too. I am now a widow and I had nothing except for my mother-in-law. And she would cry out, but I just didn't understand how this God that they served could truly abandon her. How did she not see that this God allows for the provision of his people in his scripture, his word, his very essence? But Naomi seemed to forget that, and she didn't seem to understand, and so she would cry out in agony. And so coming to know the God that Naomi served, one thing only made sense to me, and that was to serve Naomi. When we headed back to Bethlehem, when she had to go and I just had to stay with her, I couldn't leave her and abandon her because I could see that God hadn't abandoned her and she needed to know that. I followed her to Bethlehem. And when we arrived, the whole meaning of God's law, the whole provision that he provides for his people became on a whole nother level a reality for me. Or so I thought it was going to be initially. I thought when Naomi was headed back to Bethlehem that it was going to be okay. Because God's law provides for his people, especially the widows and the orphans. And so surely his people back in his land would provide for Naomi. Maybe not me. I understood that I was on my own, really, because I wasn't an Israelite. But for Naomi, they surely had to provide for her. But when we arrived back in Bethlehem, we arrived to gossip. The people weren't following the law. They had forgotten who their God was, and I was would walk the streets and you hear the whispers and you hear the, oh, that's that woman that Naomi brought back from Moab. Look what happened to them. It got to be where I didn't even want to go outside. Every time you would just hear the rumors and the gossip that would be going around, and I decided, you know, this God that Naomi serves, rescuing me from all the gods that I grew up with, there was something about him that was special. There was something about him that set him apart, and his people seemed to have forgotten. But I understood, even when Naomi seemed to have sometimes forgotten, and I made it my life's mission to serve God by serving Naomi. But it meant that I kind of had to break the rules. Well, breaking the rules probably isn't the right terminology. I had to stretch the boundaries of what the law required. Because again, I'm not an Israelite. I'm not just endowed to this promise because I was not born into it. So in stretching the boundaries, I was stretching the boundaries of God's hesed. His love that goes beyond understanding. His love that cares for every individual, no matter how rich or poor, no matter how well off or how broken they are at that time. His love that goes beyond the boundaries of what society sets up to say, you are my child and I love you. And in serving that God, my only option was to serve Naomi with that same kind of love. And so I began to push the boundaries. You see, and it's harvest time. The fields are beautiful this time of year, blowing in the wind, the golden wheat and the barley, and there's provision there. There's stuff there, but you just have to know how to get it. And one of God's provisions is that Israelites are allowed to glean in the fields. My pushing the boundaries is it didn't allow me to glean. But in order for me to provide for Naomi, I had to do it. And so that first morning when I went out, I prayed, Yahweh, please lead me to a field where I will be protected. Please guide me into the right place. You see, I could have so easily focused in on myself. I had lost my husband. I could have been mourning for the child that I never had. I could have been miserable with the fact that I was now in a foreign land with a foreign people. I was an immigrant. I was a refugee. I was coming back, and I just didn't know anything what was going on. I could have so easily turned in on myself, sat in my house, avoided the gossip, and had a little pity party. That's what life had thrown me. I'm a victim. Life has thrown me everything wrong. But I knew as a child of God that I was not a victim. That I couldn't do that because God didn't do that. God didn't say, oh, the world got it wrong. I'm just going to sit up here and cry about it. He poured himself out for his people. And as his child now, as a daughter of the king, brought into that Israelite fold, I couldn't just look to myself. I had to look to for Naomi. And so the only option was to glean. And so that morning when I left and I prayed, help me turn outward. Help me look. Help me go beyond myself to provide for Naomi. Lead me to the right place because it's degrading work. It's backbreaking work. It's dangerous work for a woman to go gleaning in the fields. You're vulnerable. Everyone knows that you don't have anything, that you're poor. Because there you are, following behind the harvesters, following behind the servant girls, picking up the leftovers, desperate for the tiny grains of grain, tiny pieces of grain, to take home and hopefully be able to bake a cake of bread. And then you go back out the next day and you do it again. It's not glorifying work. So when I prayed that morning and I went out, I just had to trust. And I found a field. And I followed behind the end of the servant girls and I was picking up grain and I was trying to keep to the edge of the field because I didn't want to make myself seen. I didn't want to make myself known to those in the field. I just kind of wanted to hide and get what I could get. And so I'm down on the ground and I'm gleaning what I can and it's not much, but I'm thankful for every little piece that I can get. The owner of the fields arrives. And from across the field, I hear him come and I hear him say, the Lord bless you. And all the workers in the field said back to him, and the Lord bless you. And there I was on my hands and knees with a smile coming over my face because the Lord led me to a field of a man of his own. I was gleaning in a field of a child of the king who acknowledged him. I couldn't believe where God had led me. And so there I was, and I just kept gleaning, just so thankful for God's provision this day. When my ears began to hear that owner asking some of his foremen who I was, and then I began to get a little bit nervous. You see, although the law allowed this, I'm not technically supposed to be here because I'm not an Israelite. And so I try to just hear what's going on and keep going, thinking this is it. Every last piece is my last piece, and I'm going to get kicked out of this field, and I'll just be thankful for what I got today. When I hear, hey, daughter, come here. Uh-oh. So I stand up and I go over and I kneel before him, and he asks me, why are you here? You need to stay here in my field. Keep gleaning. And in fact, don't follow behind my servant girls. Follow my girls. You're with them. Stay with them. And if you're thirsty, come and get a drink from the well that they have pulled up the baskets, the jars. You're welcome to all of it. I couldn't believe myself. And I asked him, why? Why are you showing such favor to me? And he says, I've heard about what you've done for your mother-in-law since you've come here to Bethlehem with her. I was so amazed. At lunchtime, he said to me, come and have lunch with us. This was unheard of. And it just kept getting more and more. And so I came and I had lunch. I ate so much lunch. I had leftovers. I put it in my pocket to take home to Naomi. And I thought, I can't believe it. I don't even have to wait for her to cook. I don't have to wait to cook a meal. When I get home, she has food to eat immediately. God, you are so good. And then after lunch, he goes even crazier. He says to his harvesters, leave entire stalks so that she can pick them up. Entire stalks of grain. I'm not gleaning anymore. I'm harvesting. And I'm in bewilderment. God, your provision is incredible. I could not believe this. Just the other day, we were recounting this first meeting, and I asked him, I said, why was it that day that you did all of that for us? And he said to me, that day, I challenged him. I challenged him like nobody had ever challenged him before, because here I was, a foreigner, serving his God in a way that he had never seen anyone in Israel serve him. You see, this foreign woman, he said to me, has discovered such a deep meaning of God's love, of his hesed, as to outstep the boundaries of the law, then surely God is calling me to do the same. He said, that's why I allowed you to glean. That's why I provided for you even more, because as I watched you care and heard about what your care was for your mother-in-law, an Israelite, when you came from a different nation and a different people, you gave up everything in order to make sure she was okay. It showed me something about my God that I had never seen before. And if you could do it, I had to stretch those boundaries too. I had to look into the law like I had never looked into the law before. That's why I allowed you to harvest with my people that day. Well, do you know, at the end of that day, I went home with 29 pounds of grain. You don't look impressed. 29 pounds of grain. This basket I could barely lift. You see, this is significant because if I was a worker in those fields, my pay would have been 1 to 2 pounds. 29 pounds of grain. I lugged that basket through the city streets, and when I got home and Naomi opened the door, she could not believe her eyes. Where have you been today? What have you been doing? That's not gleaning. And I just had to tell her that I was led to the field, and the man of God was there, and he allowed me to harvest with his own harvesters. He provided, God provided for us in such a miraculous, mighty way. Well, do you know, in that instant, I had my Naomi back. No longer was she bitter. No longer was she just Mara. She was Naomi again. She began to see the full provision that God had provided for us. She began to see that all along in this story that we've been in, that God never left, that he was working every element of the way in order to provide and to show us his love, to remind her constantly that she is a beloved child of God and that he has never left her. You see, what seemed like a chance meeting at first here in this field, she clearly became God's hand of change in my life, in that of the life of Naomi, my mother-in-law, and in fact, all of Israel and the entire world has felt that hand of change from that morning when I trusted and I let God guide me to that field. You see, my desire was to serve Yahweh with my whole heart, my whole soul, and my whole mind. It didn't matter that he was not my God from birth. I had seen the provision that he allowed for his people through my mother-in-law's suffering. And he was a God worth serving. He was a God worth not giving up on. I just had to find a way to make his love known to Naomi. And ultimately, in doing that, his people saw the love of their God, who loves without boundaries, who loves without regulations, who loves an overflowing, never giving up, never abandoning love. But I had to step out and do that. 29 pounds. Now you might be wondering whose field I was gleaning in. Well, I'll let him tell you that part of the story. Because it didn't end that day. Our story's still being written. But let me tell you this. Anybody can be a catalyst for change. Anybody. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Anybody, through the strength that comes through Yahweh, can be a catalyst for change. I was a Moabite, foreign, barren widow. And if God can use me, he can use any of you. You just have to be willing. You have to be okay stepping out and saying, God, I don't know what it's going to look like, but guide me. I think I hear my son crying. I should probably go relieve Naomi and let her get on with her work.